Would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37? And this morning I'm going to begin to speak to you about surrendering to God's assignment. The first thing I want to ask you this morning is your dream bigger than God's dream for your life? You know, I have had the opportunity to so often listen to people talk about their dreams and what they want to see happen in their life. And so often when I listen to people's dreams and even listening to my own dreams sometimes, I realize that sometimes God isn't in the dream. And if I am a Christian, how can I make plans for my life without first consulting God about it? Especially sometimes when I'm listening to young people and they talk about, if a job is offered to me here, I'm going to go there. And if this happens, then I'm going to do this. And if that happens, then I'm going to do that. The whole time I'm saying to myself, well, tell me, where is God in your plans? And if my dream does not include God, is it God's dream? You know, I've been doing a teaching recently, and the teaching deals with experiencing God. And one of the things that the author said when he began to write this book on experiencing God, he said a lot of people told him to entitle it Knowing God. And he said, I can't entitle it Knowing God, because if you just know about God, all you're getting is knowledge. But he said, I wanted to entitle it Experiencing God, because he wanted people to begin to experience God, you know, walking with the Lord. And one of the things I thought about, even as I was doing this message, is so often in the Bible, we read about different people in the Bible. When you bring up the name David, the whole world knows the name David, don't they? When you bring up the name Paul, the whole world knows the name Paul. Even when you bring up the name Noah, the whole world knows that name Noah. But my question is, why do they know that name? Is it because of the person? Or is it because of the God who knew the person? And see, so often we put our attention on people and we expect so much from people. But in actuality, our focus is supposed to be on God. Now, the thing that we've got to understand here this morning is that before Moses, before God, who was Moses? Before Paul. Before God, who was Paul? Just a person. Would the world have known him had it not been for God? And you know, sometimes what we do is, as I said before, we will focus so much attention on a person that we think there is something about the person that made them great. But the thing that made them great was God. Them surrendering their will, their dreams, their plan to God. And so often we wonder why things are not occurring in our lives the way they're supposed to be occurring. And what we do again is we focus our attention on people. And we don't understand that instead of developing such a strong relationship with God, we spend all our time trying to develop strong relationships with people. Now, there's nothing wrong. We're supposed to have a relationship with people, too. But the most important relationship any of us are supposed to have is the relationship and the time that we spend with God. And for some reason, that doesn't seem to be a priority to us. And it's supposed to be. And again, we wonder why things are not going according to plan. at least according to how we plan. But see, the key is, what has God planned for your life? And have I made a decision to embrace that plan? Well, in order for me to embrace that plan, I got to know what the plan is, right? Well, in order for me to know what the plan, that means that I need to spend some time with the one who has designed the plan for my life. Let me say this again, because I want us to understand this. There is no dream that you can possibly come up with that's bigger than God's dream for your life. There is no dream that's bigger than the dream that God has already planned for your life. If we look in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 37, we see a young man whose name is Joseph. And God has given this man a dream. Let's start reading. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And it says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. See, one of the things that we've got to also recognize is the dream that we've dreamed, is it from God? Or is it a dream that we have come up with on our own? See, because the dream that God brings into your life, he is accountable to bringing it to pass. See, but the dream that we come up with, God doesn't have to bring that to pass. See, but anything that he gives, he has to bring it to pass. And so one of the ways that you can examine whether or not the dream that you have is from God or from you is God bringing it to pass? Now, it says here, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said to one another, behold, this dreamer cometh. And see, one of the things you got to also understand, if you begin to read the following chapters of this story about Joseph, one of the things you've got to understand is that God began to use dreams in his life to bring his plan concerning Joseph into fruition. And so one of the things that you have got to do, and one of the things that I've begun to do, is to look back over my life and to see God's pattern. And so you have got to spend time sometimes evaluating your life to see what is it that God has been doing, because God will develop a pattern in your life. And so you see here with Joseph, God began to give him dreams. And so when he began to have dreams, then the Bible says that his brothers began to envy him. They became jealous of what was going on in his life. Even when he went to check out what they were doing, the Bible says when they saw him from afar off, they said, here comes this dreamer. You know, it's a shame. But they began to call him what God was calling. You know, sometimes we'll call people thinking that we're being sarcastic, but in actuality, we're speaking over our lives what God has called them. Here you have the situation where you have the brothers saying, and they said one to another, verse 19, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Let me also say this. If the dream that you've dreamed has been given to you by God, can't nobody stop the dream. The only person that can hinder or stop that dream from coming to pass is you. The only one. No one else can do it. And so they said, what we're going to do with this guy, our brother, let me say this too. Sometimes the ones who hinder us most are our own brethren. Who speak the worst things about us. Sometimes our own brethren. And that's not what God wants for us. That's not what God says that we're supposed to do with one another, right? And so it says, and Reuben heard it. Now, this is one of his brothers. It says, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Now, one of the things you've got to understand with God, and this is God. This is what I love about God. And you will find this thing out when you begin to develop a relationship with him. That God's training is totally different from man's training. God is going to take you a way that you will never have wanted to go. But see, there are things that God has to do in your life. There are things that he has to do in my life. You know, I was meditating, I was talking to my husband yesterday, and we were just kind of laughing. At some point, though, we weren't laughing. But now God has gotten us to a place that there are things that we can laugh at. The things that he's brought us through. See, because let me tell you, we're still standing. We're still standing. And so there have been a lot of things we've had to deal with and go through, whether it's been in our family or been in ministry or, you know, whatever it's been, whether it's been illness, but we're still standing. And we know that's all because of the Lord. It's not because of us. It's been because of His mercy and His grace and His tolerance and His love and His patience. And see, one of the things that we have begun to understand, that if He has been such a great and wonderful God to us, how can we not be that way with each other? The patience and the love and the understanding. I sit back and I look at so many things, and one of the things we were even talking about yesterday, and we were just thinking about our elders and our assistant pastor and his wife and all of our senior elders and elders on the front row and our deacons. And there is a great testimony when people can be with you for a long time, see your imperfections, and still stay. Now, that's the testimony there. That's not just a testimony for us, but that's a testimony for them. Because, see, the closer you get to people, the more you begin to see their imperfections. And you can either do one or two things with them. You can either pray for them or you can talk about them. You can either hold the person's arms up and love them, or you can just leave. And we've seen people leave, but we've seen a whole lot of people stay. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this has been because of God. You know, let me also say this. When God gives you a dream, or when God gives you an assignment, it does not mean that He expects you to complete the assignment right then and there. He takes you to a training ground. But you know the reason why He takes you on that training ground? Because He wants you to see what you're made out of. Can you handle it? See, because when God first called Abraham, the Bible says Abraham began to walk with God. But see, in his walking, he had to leave some things behind. And see, when God first calls you out, He calls you out into a place where you're going to have to leave some, you're going to have to cut some stuff loose. And see, God cannot cause you to walk any further with Him until you learn how to first obey Him in some of those small things. If you don't know how to obey Him in the small things, He's not going to continue to cause you to walk so that you can fulfill that assignment. Now, let me ask this question. When God called Jonah, who did God have more trouble with? Jonah or Nineveh? When God got Jonah straight, He got Nineveh straight. And sometimes things are not in order because we're not in order. And God has to work on us. He has to help us to see where we are. And so, with this situation with Joseph, God did not immediately take him to his position of being second in command in Egypt. He had to take him through a training process. And you know how God is. God just, He just blows me away sometimes, because you know what the Lord will take you further down and down and down, and He'll strip you. And see, one of the first things that you're going to see here, even with Joseph, is that Joseph, the Bible says that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. And one of the ways that he was, that they could see that he was his favorite son, that he had this coat of many colors. And this coat of many colors meant that he was somebody, right? Now, what happened? What was one of the first things that happened to him? When he came before these brethren, it says, "And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So what Reuben was going to try to do is, you know, put him in the pit, then he was going to try to get him back to his dad. And it says, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. See, one of the things that the Lord will do when he begins our training process is he strips us of our own reputation. Because our dependency has to be on him. We cannot go into this assignment that God has given us and think or want the world to think that we had something to do with it. That the reason why we were able to complete the plan or the assignment that God has given us was because of some strength that I had. And so what God does is he takes us to this place where he begins to strip us of our own abilities. And so if you look through scripture, you see whether it was with Moses or with David, they all went through this process of a wilderness experience. And in the wilderness is like a desert. There's nothing there. Even if you look in the New Testament, the Bible says that even John the Baptist was crying in the wilderness. God takes you to a place where you can only begin to trust and to depend on him. Even with the Israelites, they were in the wilderness. And what happened even in the wilderness with the Israelites, the Bible says that they had to eat manna. And what they said manna was angels' food. Manna was food from heaven. And see, what we refuse to do is to receive food from God. See, God wants to change our diet so that he can complete the mission that he's called us on. But a lot of times as Christians, we won't receive what God has from us. And so we stay in this deformed state. And we cannot accomplish what it is God has called us to do. And we wonder why. And it's because we have refused the food that God has given to us. And so it goes on and it says this. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave into my son mourning, unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt, unto Potiphar. an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Now, I want you to keep your finger there because we're going to go to Genesis chapter 39, but I also want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe it is. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. And what does he say he led them in the wilderness for? He says, to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so one of the things we have to see here is that when the Lord begins to train you or take you through this process, he is taking you through this process so that you can be humbled and tested. And let me tell you, I don't know but you all, but I know but me. 10 years ago, I was not very humble at all. My husband said, yes, I was. And he just loves me, right? But 10 years ago, I was not very humble at all. And you know, when I began to look back over our years of being in ministry together, I realized that I didn't know I wasn't. I know it. You know, there are a lot of things you think you know about yourself, but in actuality, you don't know them. And what the Lord ends up doing is he will take you through a season of testing and proving and pruning. And the whole time, he wants you to see what you're made of. See, because he already knows. And so he wants you to see whether or not, whether it's doing the good, the bad, and the ugly, are you still going to follow me? Because, see, I'm going to tell you, we have seen some good, the bad, and the ugly. And I don't mean always the good, the bad, and the ugly in other people. Sometimes you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in yourself. And you're saying to yourself, God, was that me? Did I say that? Did I do that? And you'll be saying to yourself, God, I thank you so much because you still had patience with me. You still loved me. In the spite of all of it, you still gave me a husband who stayed with me. That although there were times he didn't like what he saw, he said, this is forever. He made the commitment. And I am so grateful to the Lord for that. He gave us children who said, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we'll talk about how our children are supposed to obey us and do what we tell them and do and all that kind of stuff. But do you know sometimes parents can be ugly too? And children have to tolerate the parents? You know how sometimes we're always talking about how we have to tolerate the children? But sometimes we can be pretty bad too. And children have to tolerate us. So I thank the Lord that my children didn't divorce me. I am so grateful to God that even through the process, they have learned how to forgive.